I would just like to read one verse of scripture tonight. Some will be relieved to hear. The first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 18. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is God's power. Maybe just read it again. The word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is God's power. Tonight, in this world, dear friend, there is a great divide. You think of all the various divides that there are in man's world. But what I want to speak of is not what man would divide men, is not racial or social or political or religious. The great divide, dear friend, is in those that perish or are lost and those that are saved. Which category, dear hearer, do you come under tonight? Are you under those who are perishing or are lost? Or are you those who have come under the wonderful sway of divine grace and know what it is to be saved? The cross, you know, is the great focal point in the gospel. Indeed, the cross is the great focal point in the counsels of God, the great focal point in the history of this world, and the great focal point, dear hearer, in your life. We cannot get by the cross of Christ. Read a remark earlier today of Brother Mr. Coates that some will know of. He said the preaching of the cross, he said, is the most vital thing at the present time, especially for believers. You know, that's quite a word, isn't it? The cross of Christ. We say, well, it's for sinners. Yes, it is, but too, it has an impact and effect upon us as believers. You notice where I start here, where it says here, the word of the cross. That note to that word is the word logos, which is another title which is used for the Lord Jesus in John's gospel. It says he was the word. Think of who Jesus was. The word of the cross. Other translations speak of the preaching of the cross. But I would just like to impress upon each one of us the great necessity of the word of the cross today. You know, there's other false translations of the Bible which they don't mention the cross. They call it a stake. And once you start on that line, you take away the whole force and power of what the cross means. So what is it? Why is the cross so important? What happened at the cross? Why is the cross of Christ the central theme of the gospel? Think of the thought of the cross, dear hearer, what it would have meant. Well, the cross was used by the Romans for crucifixion, as we know. The most cruel and hated means that they used for taking the life of criminals, for the very worst kind of criminals. It was reserved for those of which the very lowest form of criminals of that day. And it was what the Romans thought up could be the most painful and hurtful way of taking a man's life. That is, from man's side, think of what the cross meant. You know, it's in the Lord Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. We see pictures of it in the Old Testament, don't we? When the serpent bit the people and Moses, he made the brazen serpent and lifted it up on a pole. And all of it were told to look and be saved. At the cross, you know, we sung in our hymn about, we learn God's heart to me at the cross of Christ. Think of all the forces that were portrayed and arrayed at that cross. The whole forces of Satan, the devil. I was impressed recently with thinking about that. You know, the way that the devil, he comes before us in different ways. One who's a great deceiver, the serpent. The one who is the roaring lion. The two, think of him as the one who transforms himself into an angel of light. You think of the activities of Satan, the devil at the cross. The Lord could say when they took him, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." Yes, Satan was very active when it came to the cross of Christ. His aim was to destroy Christ. But unknown to him was the wonderful way in which God was to make known his heart of love. But what was needed at the cross, dear friend, was the fact that the man had sinned, fallen short of God's glory, come under the penalty of death. Man and sin had to be dealt with. You think of the thought of it, really, goes right back to Genesis at the beginning of the Bible there, when Adam and Eve sinned. God provided a coat of skin. It meant that death had to come in. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus going to death, and that the death of the cross, the ignominy and shame, and of what the cross was in the sight of God, what had to be gone through, what had to be judged there was not only sin, but the man that sinned. And the Lord Jesus was the one who took upon himself the great power, the great burden of sin and guilt which has fallen upon the human race. He took on the judgment, and he exhausted the judgment, dear friend. What it must have meant for the Lord Jesus, you know, to go to the cross. He would have known what lay before him in his life. You know, think of him walking here. When he came into life, went into his public service, he knew at the end of those 3.5 years what awaited him. You know, we don't know what's around the corner in our lives and how thankful we should be to know that. But the Lord Jesus is coming here. He knew that every footstep of his life, what lay before him at the end of his life here as a man, was the cross, where he would have to work out this full matter of redemption and what it would mean for him to be made that article, the article of sin. You see, it was foreign to Jesus. We are born as sinners. We have a sinful nature. We can't help sinning. That's what we are. Since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, who, as we were had impressed upon us last week, they believed the lies of the devil. "See, you shall be as God, and you shall not die." What has come upon the act of man as disobeying God is death and judgment. You know, a wonderful contrast in the scriptures. It tells us in Hebrews, the God who cannot lie. You know, we can take God at his word. We can trust him. His word is true. And the devil's word is false, and he's seeking to mislead many today. It's why I thought about him as the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's his full frontal attack. But he deceives men. Then he turns himself into an angel of light and has all these wonderful array of religions to try and lead men off to different paths. To take you away, my friend, from the truth of the gospel, the truth of the cross of Christ. Think of the power of these words, the word of the cross. And it's to them that perish foolishness. And this is one thing I want to concentrate. To them that perish, it's foolishness. You know, you tell people about the gospel. You tell them about the cross of Christ. They can't make head or tail of it. They can't understand it. But to us that are saved, it is God's power. It's the most wonderful story. May God open the eyes of many tonight to see the wonderful word of preaching, word of the cross. May many turn from their darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, know what it is to have forgiveness of sins. Yes, the Lord Jesus went this way of ignominy and shame. On one side, you think of what it was, the taking of the hands of men, what they did to Jesus, what they did to Christ, the hatred, what came out of man's heart. You know, our hearts are no different. That scripture in Mark 7, how powerful it is, but out of the heart of man, the hatred, the despising of Jesus, and what they did to Christ there at that cross, and how they said, "Away with this man, we will not have him to reign over us." And they hated me without a cause, it says in the psalm, how Jesus felt it, the full ignominy of shame that the Lord Jesus suffered at the hands of men. As I say, you think of who Jesus was. He was God himself. He was the creator, allowing himself to be taken by these men and to suffer the ignominy, the hatred, the mocking, the violence against him. Think of them plucking the hairs off his face and the beating, the scourging and the beating. How the Lord Jesus undertook that from the hand of men. But too, on the other side of the cross, we have what it meant, what he had to suffer from the hands of a holy God, that the matter of sin might be met. You see, the sufferings from the hands of men, they couldn't remove one sin. one blot against us. It had to take the atoning work, as we speak of it, of Christ at the cross, where he hung there and where he took upon himself the judgment that God had against sin. You see, God is holy and sin must be judged. It must be removed. He can't allow sin to go on unjudged or unchecked. Think of the course of this world, but there's the result of sin and all the decay and everything that's come in, the wickedness, the violence, the hatred. You think that God's going to allow this whole situation to continue unjudged? No, dear friend. The judgment has been met by Christ upon the cross. He took the judgment upon himself, the judgment, God's judgment of what sin. He says, thou, this hymn says, thou didst measure, then sin's distance, when alone upon the tree. Oh, think of what it meant. The one who knew, Jesus, who knew what sin meant to the heart of God, to suffer there in his body on the tree, the judgment of God against sin. Think of the 3 hours of darkness, God clothing that scene. We need to think about these things, you know. We need to think about the sufferings of Christ more. We need to read the Gospels. I think Mark is very vivid in his Gospel about what Jesus suffered at the hands of men and how they treated him. But then you think of how it meant, what it meant for Jesus. Some of these Psalms, they speak of what the Lord endured when he was on the cross, when he was suffering at the hands of his God. Think of him in communion with his Father day by day, but those 3 hours, communion was broken. The abandonment when he was made sin, of what it must have meant for him to endure that, to take the suffering. But he could cry at the end of those 3 hours, it is finished. So he dealt with the matter of sin. He gave up his life. It wasn't taken from him. He didn't die in weakness. Men didn't take the life of Jesus. He gave up his life. He says, I lay down my life that I might take it again. You know what power there is in the words of Christ? Yes, men are guilty, for they crucified the Lord of glory. It says in Corinthians, had they known he was the Prince of glory, they would not have slain him. Men did it. Wonderful grace, really. It's given as a sin of ignorance, isn't it? They didn't know what they were doing. It says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wonderful words of grace from the words of Jesus when he was on the cross. But you know, now comes the point in man's history when everyone has to give an account of what they think about the cross of Christ. And on that cross, after he gave up his life, the soldier piercing his side, the blood being flowing from the riven side of that spear, the blood and water, that the cleansing can be known. The power is in the blood. These things are so important in the preaching of the word. The cross and the blood, the forgiveness of sins. These things are what the gospel are all about, because they affect every human being that's ever lived and is alive today. And dear friend, you can find what it is to find peace and forgiveness in trusting the finished work of Jesus. So he was taken down, he was buried, and he was raised. You know, these things are facts. Paul goes over them in his epistle to the Corinthians later on, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again according to the scriptures. You know, you need to lay hold of these facts today, because they've been challenged. They've been challenged in the world. They've been challenged in religious circles. But the resurrection of Christ is so vital. So that what I said about the man that has sinned has gone from the sight of God. Jesus took it upon himself. He's come out again and he's raised again by the glory of the Father. He's at the Father's right hand. It's a wonderful thing to know that Christ has risen and Christ has ascended. We read today the time he's going to come back again to this earth with power and great glory. What a victory that will be. What a victory parade, you might say, when the Lord Jesus will come to deal with everything here. All power has been given to him. He's a glorious living person. And tonight he wants to be your saviour. So people would say to the perish, it's foolishness. You know, Paul was dealing with some very clever people in Corinth. They were those who had wonderful gift. They were very proud of themselves. But the cross comes in very dramatically in Corinthians. It comes in again in Galatians 2, where you have the religious pride of man. People are trying to add things to the gospel, say you had to be circumcised to be saved. Paul says the scandal of the cross will be done away. It is a scandal on the face of this world. The scandal of the cross, what was done to Christ. But it's to those that perish, that those that, another word for perish could be those that are lost. It's foolishness. I wonder what attitude of heart and mind have we got in our hearts tonight in relation to the cross of Christ. He speaks here about the foolishness. He goes on down in this list. He speaks about wisdom. He speaks about, is pleased by the foolishness of the preaching. And God's foolishness is wiser than men's wisdom. and we preach Christ crucified, to Jews an offence, and to nations foolishness. Yes, to the Jew it's an offence, because to think of their Messiah as crucified is foreign to the Jew. Their Messiah was coming in power. They don't understand the prophecy of Isaiah 53. But to the nations, it's just foolishness. So you speak to people today about the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Saviour and the work of the cross, and they cannot understand it. They cannot work it out. But God isn't asking for us to work it out. He's not asking for us to understand it. He's wanting us to believe it. That's what God, he calls all men to obey him, to obey the glad tidings. And if you're going to get anywhere in your soul's history, dear friend, dear hearer, it's through the way of obedience. Trust and obey. There is no other way. I desire that everyone here may be those who are in the second section of what we read. Second, it says here, those that are saved, it is God's power. Yes, it's a wonderful power to get forgiveness of sins, to be delivered from that terrible guilt that you carry upon you, you know. It's God's power to salvation. It says in Romans 1, what a wonderful thing it is to be saved. What peace we have in our heart. What joy we have in our heart. You know, there are people that they may on the outward look happy. They may on the outward not be caring about the way they're continuing. But you know, people are deeply troubled about their sins. And if you aren't saved, my friend, I trust you are deeply troubled about your sin. But you know, the fact is that how perilous is a person, a sinner, who isn't saved. You know, we could be just a heartbeat from eternity setting in. Once we die, matters are fixed and settled, you know. It's a terrible thing that is coming in at the present time, that people think that to escape the suffering they have in their human bodies, that they can just decide when it's time for them to die. What a lie of the devil that is. What deception that is. Once that comes in, once death comes in, that's a fixed position, dear friend. As Luke 16 makes very plain to us. And God doesn't want you to face the eternal realities of hell. He wants you to come into blessing, to know what it is to be in the presence, his presence, and to be with Christ. But the devil doesn't want your blessing. He wants to lie to you, to deceive you, that you might miss out on the blessing. Oh, do not bypass the cross, dear friend. Take heed to the words of the cross. To us that are saved, it is God's power. God wants to bring you into wonderful blessing in Christ. Forgiveness of sins at the beginning. But as we all know, it's not a rosy path. It's not all happiness and sailing away to glory. There's many tests that come upon the believer. Indeed, all who deliver to live piously in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It is a time of testing. But Paul could say the sufferings of the present time are not to be compared to the coming glory. Yes, dear friend, let's have our eyes on the coming glory, soon to be our portion. The Lord is coming again soon. He's coming for all who love him. Are you ready? Are you prepared to go to be with Christ? You know, I've often wondered why God continues with the outgoing of the gospel. Why does he continue with wickedness arising on every hand and the way that men are setting themselves against him? Why does God go on with it, we say? Why doesn't he come in? You know, we misunderstand the heart of God, don't we? His grace and his love. Those disciples, you know, they said to the Lord, why don't you pull down judgment upon them and destroy them? The Lord had to say, you know not what spirit ye are. And we have to be tested in our spirits at the present time in relation to men. That God is desiring their blessing. He wants to bless men. He doesn't want to bring them into judgment. Says judgment is his strange work. But judgment will have to come in. Because what men have said in relation to the word of the cross will be the deciding matter. Are you of those that are perishing, those that are lost, or are you of those that have come to know what it is to be saved? To be saved and to have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful power available to the believer. A believer in Jesus, you know, God doesn't leave us here without resources. He gives us the forgiveness of sins. Wonderful blessing that is. He gives us too the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We were reminded, some of us yesterday, that he is the one that is in us and with us. We have a power outside of ourselves in one way. It's a power of God living inside our souls. Help us to face the problems of the Christian's pathway. We have a power that can meet every attack of the enemy upon us. May we know what it is to not only to meet the attacks, but to the Holy Spirit wants to teach us and tell us of the things of Christ. Fill our hearts with joy and blessing so that we have something which is lasting, something which is eternal. Well, may it be the portion of everyone here. I was just struck by this matter of the word of the cross and how vital it is to each one of us at the present time. Well, may we know what it is to be trusting in the finished work of Christ for his name's sake.